Good morning, and let me add my welcome to you in this very special chapel. Every chapel is special because God comes with a fresh message for each one of us. But today is particularly special because we have some December graduates, a number of students that are here with us today that for you, and two of whom are behind me, I'm sorry that I have my back to you, but for some of you, this is your last undergraduate chapel to be at Asbury College, and so we want to dedicate this chapel to you, and I would like to ask if our December graduates would stand and let us acknowledge you and give our great Asbury Now, we want to give you a great Asbury send-off, but that doesn't come until next week. You've got a whole week of work to do yet. You need to finish strong, and so we're praying that you are going to hold tight, stay focused, and that's true for all of you. I know you're anxious for break, but we are praying that you will remain strong and full of energy and zeal for your work as you finish your projects and final exams next week. In today's chapel, we are going to talk about a topic that actually comes from scriptural text, or a text for what we're talking about today, would come from Luke 2, which is the famous, familiar Christmas story, and also Matthew 2, which tells about Jesus' birth. But as I was beginning this Advent season, I began it as I have for the last 8 or 10 years. I've really lost track, but I think it's been in the last 8 or 10 years that I started the Advent season asking the Lord to give me a fresh Christmas message. Many of you may be as I, that grew up in a Christian home, and so every year, you know, we read Luke 2 and we knew the Christmas story, and so there's much about the story that's familiar. But as I've come to appreciate the indwelling Holy Spirit and knowing that the Spirit always has a fresh new message for us, I began praying, Lord, give me a fresh message for this year. And He's been faithful to do that. And so this year, as I was praying that, once again, He was faithful, and He's given me just a little glimpse of something that He wanted me to be thinking upon, and I thought it would be useful for you, as particularly for our seniors, but for all of you, there will be something that will speak to you. And if I were to give today's chapel a title, it would be Jesus Left Home for Christmas. We often talk at Christmas time about being home for the holidays, and I've asked many of you, and you're talking to one another, are you going home for Christmas, and where's home, and what will you be doing? And so we often think of going home for Christmas, and yet Jesus left home for Christmas. He left heaven, He left Father, He left all that was comfortable in the heavenlies, and came to walk on this earth to be with us. And so we're going to be talking today about what that means. We have three seniors that are here, two of whom are December graduates, Dan Baer and Daniel Apple, Josh Apple, I'm sorry, Daniel Baer, Josh Apple, and Elizabeth Key. Elizabeth is a May graduate. But we've had conversations together among ourselves. What does this mean? What does it mean for us to be willing to leave home? And for you seniors, in some ways, there is a sense of you're leaving home because Asbury has become home for you. But there's a much deeper meaning, and that is that we have to be willing to leave home, to leave what's comfortable, to leave where we would like to be willing to go to that place where God is calling us. And so we're going to have a conversation, and I know the seniors will want to share with you what the Lord has taught them out of this Christmas message. But as I began thinking upon that, what a cool idea that is, that Jesus left home for Christmas. Then as we read through Luke 2 and Matthew 2, we see that everyone else did too. Mary and Joseph left Nazareth and went to Bethlehem. The shepherds left the fields and the flocks and went to Bethlehem. The wise men left and went to Bethlehem. Anna and Simeon were not at home. They were in the temple. And so as I looked at this, well, this is so obvious. It is what the Christmas story is about, is our willingness to be abandoned, to follow that star, to follow the light, to walk in the place where hope resides. And so we're going to be sharing some with you about that. As we begin, I would just ask our students to share, what has God taught you out of this message, and in what way is it preparing you to step into leaving home and to step into that next place that may not be familiar?
Well, when I was thinking about just how what you were saying, how Christ left his home and came here for Christmas, I was thinking about how, like, he left everything he knew. He left heaven. He left the comforts of his home, of who he was as God, and came here for us, like the sacrifice he made for us, and how he calls us into the same thing, how he calls us away from what we know. And I was thinking about how he calls each one of us into different circumstances, into different places in our life where we are uncomfortable, where we don't know who we are, where we're away from everything that we know. And I was thinking how that, like, there was just this tension in my mind of, like, I don't really know if I would want to do that. I don't know if I would like that. But when God calls us into those places of unsurety and being uncomfortable, it's for a greater cause. That's what I was learning, was it's for something greater. Christ left his home so he could bring salvation to all of us, bring restoration to all of us. And so when he calls us away, it's for the glory of his kingdom. It's not just to make things uncomfortable, but it's for something much greater. And that's what we have to keep our mind on, is when God calls us away from the comfortable and from what we know. It's for something greater. It's for his plan to stretch us and for his kingdom.
I think one of the people in the Christmas story that spoke the most to me, that I had never thought about before in this way, was Anna. And there's a sense in which she stayed home, but she moved into the temple. She left her home and moved just to the other part of town, but moved into the temple, into the presence of God, and waited for the Messiah to come. And I was thinking about how amazing that is, in the sense that she found, it's a new definition of home, in that she found her home in his presence. No matter where she was, it was in his presence. Then the more I thought about that, the more I realized that applies to everyone in the story, and that all of their movement was towards Jesus, and it was towards being in his presence, being in with him. And everyone in the story moves. Like, somehow there's always movement going on. And I think it's amazing how, when Jesus comes truly into your life, when the gospel message comes into your life, it requires change, and it requires an immediate reaction and response. And I think it just amazed me how, even though there's not a lot of detail, I know this week when I was reading in these stories, I just wanted so much more. Like, how long did it take the shepherds to find Jesus? How long did the wise men travel? What was, like, I wanted more. But at the same time, the important thing is there, in that they dropped everything and immediately followed. And they went towards Jesus, and they went to his presence and found their home in him. And I know for you seniors and for myself, that has really spoken to me, and that no matter where I am, no matter how not like home it feels in the future, my home is in him and in his presence and in seeking him. So that's one part that just really spoke to me. Yeah.
And in much the same way that Anna's story spoke to Elizabeth, Simeon's story really spoke to me. Simeon is the figure who is in the temple, and when Jesus is brought in as an infant to be dedicated to the Lord, he immediately goes to Mary and Joseph and says, "This is the person I've been waiting for. Our salvation has come." And Simeon was called to be in the temple and simply to wait. And that spoke profoundly to me in this time when a lot of us are just uncertain of what's to come, especially for us seniors, some of us graduating, some of us not. We're in the middle of an economy that's unstable. We're having hard times finding jobs. We're unsure of what the Lord wants us to do. And for underclassmen, maybe you're struggling with, you know, what major should I pick? How should I plan for the future? What classes should I take? Or should I engage in that relationship? Or should I go home? Should I be excited about going home? All of these uncertainties and all of these unsureties in our life, but yet God calls us simply to wait on him, because in his timing, he has the perfect plan for each and every one of us. And, you know, I'm sitting here today, and I know that I graduate here in just a few days, and I'm going out into the world without jobs to pay for a house that I'm going to be renting, and without really a clear plan of what God wants me to do in this in-between time between college and graduate studies. And I just know through Simeon and through the gift of Jesus Christ during this time that I need not fear what's to come, because Christ is coming to me. Christ is here with me now, and he's coming. He's the now but not yet that John's gospel talks about. And so we can have faith, we can have hope in this time that we are taken care of. And even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of trouble or hardship, we have hope that the Lord is with us and that he's working out his plan for us in his timing. And so we don't necessarily need to know right now. We'll know when we need to know. And that's all that we need to hold on to.
There's some sense of even being that baby that is so dependent upon, as Jesus was born, dependent upon his mother and father to care for him, his earthly father. So in some sense, are you feeling that as you are leaving, that you are this really, as Jesus was, you are the baby that is so dependent upon father?
Yeah, I'm definitely. And one thing that, in response to what Dan was saying too, in that the wise men, I think a lot of times we think God's going to show us all the way to Bethlehem. And with the wise men, what I actually noticed just this morning is that the star moved with them, but it was one step ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And when it finally landed on the city of David, and they just followed every step, but they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what the end result was. Mm-hmm. They didn't know even that it was Bethlehem. All they knew was to follow the star. And for me, and I know some seniors have a plan and they know where they're going. For me, I don't. I have no idea. And that has encouraged me so much in that if I'm seeking after him, he's not always going to show me necessarily the end or even three steps ahead or even two steps ahead. It literally might just be like one step at a time. And there's a sense in which that just following after, and you're not, and what you said about that dependence, if Jesus came as a baby and became completely dependent, how much more do we have to depend on him for that following and that leading? And the idea of Emmanuel, God with us, that is the most exciting news in the whole world, in that following after. It's not just a step into the void of, you know, we don't know where we're going, but he's walking with us, and he's gone before us, and he's coming behind us. And so that idea of him being with us in every aspect means we don't have to be afraid of the unknown ahead of us, of those things that we don't know, but we just follow, and we trust that he's with us, and we know he's with us. So yeah, that just absolute dependence on him. Jesus himself depended on the Father, so and we're called to do the same.
I love the word you used, excited. So I might ask Josh or Daniel, who are leaving in December and uncertain, is there a sense of excitement? How do we as Christians embrace the unknown, but yet have a sense of adventure and excitement in waiting for what does become known just around the next bend?
There's definitely some excitement. absolutely. And but at the same time, like we've been talking about, you know, there's a lot of unsurety. Is that a word? I'm really thinking, is unsurety a word?
We'll make it a word today.
We'll make it a word. That's fine. there's a lot of unsurety just because we don't know what's going to happen.
Or uncertainty.
Uncertainty. Great. There, we'll go with that. Great. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. There is a lot of uncertainty, and but it's exciting because even though we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow or the next day or later on down the road, we can have complete faith that God knows, and we can follow Him step by step. Like when you're talking about Jesus as a baby, it made me think of like when a father or mother has a child who's like learning to walk, like they'll stand the baby up and then just stand one step away, right? And then the baby will step one step, and then the baby's like, all right, well now I'm done. But then the parents step one step back and they're like, all right, do it again, and then one step back, and the baby starts walking that way. And I kind of think that that God does that with us. Like he doesn't step 10 steps back and says, all right, now come to me. He says, step one step and take this one step and then take this next step. And the phrase that comes to my mind is blind faith, that even though we can't see down the road, even though we have no idea what's going to happen, seniors are not like, I mean, life is just like that, where we don't know what's going to happen down the road. We might have an idea, but really, in all honesty, I mean, we don't know what is guaranteed. And so we're called to have blind faith in God, and saying that even though we don't know what's going on, we know that you do. And so we'll just follow you one step at a time.
I'd like to build off of what Josh is talking about, because there's just this practical application of this excitement and hope that we have during this time in Jesus Christ. And a couple of times in Scripture, Jesus tells his disciples, until now, you haven't asked for anything in my name. You know, all of your prayers, of all of your lives up to this point, you haven't known the fullness of who I am yet. And now that I'm with you, and now that I'm going to do what I'm going to do, you have the assurance that if you ask in my name, you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And so in this time of uncertainty, when we're stepping out in faith, we know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord's plans for us are good and plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And so we can ask with certainty, knowing that if our hearts are right before the Lord, we will receive the good blessing that He has for us in His timing. And just a practical story of that, Josh and I and our good friend Alex Kaiser, we've been in, as well as Drew Barnett, been in a small group for about a year and a half, 2 years now. And Alex and Josh and I are all graduating, and we're moving on, and we've decided we want to live together. We really felt like the Lord was calling us to live in radical community together, and really act out what Psalm 133 says, that it's good, it's pleasing when brothers live together in unity. And so we've just been praying for a long time, and Josh and I were looking at apartments, and nothing was really clicking. And so we just went before the Lord, and we were continually praying, Lord, would you provide housing for us? Would you provide a way for this vision to come into reality? And that night, Stu Smith called us up, and he says, hey, I've got a 3-bedroom house that some people are moving out of. Do you want to move into it? And so it just fell right into our laps. And we asked, and we received, and it was in his timing. You know, there was a period there where we were frustrated, nothing was working out. But that's because it wasn't his timing yet. It wasn't ready for us for it to happen. So we can have faith in this time of uncertainty that we know, you know, it may not happen right now. We may not be experiencing the blessing of the Lord, but we know that the blessing is coming. And we know that no matter what may happen now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, we always have this eternal hope that the Lord is coming back to redeem His people. And so we need not fear any uncertainty. We need not have anything, because we have excitement in this time, knowing that the Lord is going to provide for us.
Yeah. And I wonder, along with that, whether you and for the rest of us, in terms of where we believe that God is calling us at the moment, are we prepared for any of the detours that may come along the way? As we read the Christmas story, we see that Mary and Joseph were preparing to take the Christ child home, but in a vision or a dream at night, Joseph was warned, don't go back yet. Go to Egypt first, because there's danger. And so he really took them on a detour and said, you need to go to Egypt and wait until King Herod dies, then it will be safe to go back. And so I'm certain that they were anxious to continue on in what their plan was. And so there may be some here today that would experience the fact that a detour may come along, but it does not mean that God does not still have that plan. So how comfortable and prepared are you to say, okay, Lord Jesus, if it's a detour, then I'll have to surrender and submit to that?
Yeah, well, I guess personally in my life, I'm a missions major, and I'm looking to go to the foreign mission field at some point, you know. And even before college, I had a passion for missions, but when I was looking at schools and stuff, I was really thinking, well, I mean, like, really, what's the point of going to college? You know, I've got the heart for missions. You know, why not just go now? Why go to school and just keep putting it off? And but the Lord called me to Asbury, so now that I'm a senior, I'm thinking, all right, now I can finally go to the mission field and get going, you know, and really live out my passion for peoples in different cultures and stuff like that. And then God was like, well, why don't you go to seminary? I said, great, thanks. That's great. It's just like I've got this passion to go. And we all have different passions to do things, but again, we're not able to see the big picture like God can. So he says, well, let's go this way to get there. And it doesn't really make sense. And so we kind of see them as detours, but maybe, you know, they're just a straight line that God calls us to walk and that we just don't understand. And so I feel like, I mean, even though we see different things like that as detours, it's taking us kind of to the side or away from what we feel like we're called to do or anything like that. I feel like it's necessary. Like God calls us into those things for a specific purpose, to teach us a specific thing, to grow us in a specific way. And that way to get us to what he's called us.
And I think if you look at the Christmas story, you realize that nothing worked the way you would expect it to work. Nothing did. And I don't think anybody expected Jesus to come in a manger in a barn in Bethlehem. I don't think anybody expected it to be to probably a 15-year-old girl that nobody knew existed. Nobody expected it to happen the way that it did. And so I think, and then even the story of Herod and even that the slaughter of all those babies, things like that, that you forget about sometimes in the story, things that don't make any sense, and don't seem to fit in with a Messiah's entrance into the world. And the reality that it's mysterious and we don't understand things sometimes, but that God comes in different ways than we expect. And for those of you who sort of have even freshmen coming in with a plan of where you're going with your life, leaving that open to God, because yes, expect the unexpected. And I think any senior would tell you that a lot of times you come in with these plans that are really more your plans than God's. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't work the way that we think. And even for me, I came in with just big ambitions, and they were spiritual ambitions in the sense that I wanted to do big things for God. But the reality that even as for me as a senior, if I knew that my senior year, I had no idea what I was going to do, and the reality that I may be just going home for a year and working so that I can buy a car and pay off loans, mm-hmm. It's not really what I was expecting. I was expecting to graduate and go off and change the world somewhere and do something big. And that's coming, hopefully, in the sense of there are big things for me ahead if I'm following him. But understanding that, just follow and don't have your expectations, but just let God lead you. And, you know, if home is where he wants me for this next year, in the workforce and just in living with my family and in letting God speak to me and being involved in my church and giving him time, that may seem like a failure to most people. But for me, if I'm following him, I can trust him for that. So those kind of things where it's not what I expected, it's not how I thought God would use me or come, but I can trust him for that and let him lead me and just obey him in that. And also, one thing that's really spoken to me is that with the home theme, that when I said Anna found her home in his presence, but the reality that God is finding his home in us, that's even more drastic and crazy. And that because of that, if you've received him as your Savior, he's in you. And so those detours, hopefully you can hear his voice and he's leading you. And it won't drastically throw your life off, but it will just be a turn. And that because he's hopefully in you and speaking to you constantly, and you're in communion with him, because the incarnation is not just him into this world. It's the possibility of him in your heart and being in you and making his home in you, even more drastic than a barn, is that he's willing to stoop that low to even enter into me and into each one of you. So just that idea that he's with you in so many different ways is just so powerful for whatever uncertainty might be ahead for you.
It even as we think about Jesus as our model, the preparation that's necessary, Josh, and that's what I really hear in you saying. You were just ready to go onto the mission field, and the Lord's saying, no, wait, hold, there's a preparation. And this preparation really is a lifetime experience. And so he is about preparing us for what he has next. And so, you know, I think even Jesus had that preparation. He was 30 years old before he really began his ministry. And so, you know, God took him into the wilderness, and he had many experiences that was a part of his preparation in being then willing and able to walk to the cross. So I think if we can have this understanding that each step is a preparation, that it really is not a canceling of hopes and dreams. In fact, the hope becomes larger and the hope becomes more sure as we do wait upon him. Simeon and Anna, very good examples of waiting for years and years and yet experiencing then the fullness of Christ as he came.
Sorry, I don't want to talk too much. I just had one quick thought that I wanted to add to that in the preparation of what Asbury is. I think sometimes we downplay our time at Asbury and say, I hear people say that it's like the Asbury bubble, using it in a negative way. And there's a sense in which these 4 years here are just that preparation time for you. And it doesn't have to be a negative sheltering that, you know, you're not prepared. It should be the opposite. You should leave here more prepared than you ever were. And the idea, there's a verse in Deuteronomy 1:6-7 that says, you've stayed at this mountain long enough, break camp in advance. And I think of Asbury as just that mountain experience that we need and that God calls us to. God called the Israelites to the mountain before he sent them off into the desert for 40 years. There's got to be that mountain experience. And I think if you, as freshmen, can take your 4 years at Asbury like that, as this mountain experience, take every chance you get to be in his presence, to let him speak to you. And for you seniors, even just in these last days, to do the same if you haven't done that. Take advantage of this time that you have to prepare yourself for what's ahead, because that preparation is so important.
And I'm glad that Elizabeth shared that, because it sort of builds off of what I'd like to talk about just briefly, is the idea that we may be in preparation and we may have a time of waiting and a time of uncertainty, but at the same time, there's a purpose and a meaning for each day. And we're not here by accident, and we're not sitting in this chapel just because it's a part of a routine, but because God has a purpose for each and every moment of our lives. And he's laying opportunities at each of our feet that if we're only willing to have eyes to see and ears to hear, we can grow in the Lord. And so, you know, it's been very easy for me over these past couple weeks to have such a forward-looking focus and like what's coming up in the future and what am I going to be doing, that at times I'm almost losing focus of what God wants to be doing right now. And I have just a few days left, and some of us seniors have maybe a semester left, or you have a few years left, but no matter how long our time is here, there, or anywhere, there's a purpose for each and every moment in our lives, and there's a reason that God has brought us into that. So if we can even use this time of Christmas to understand that in the midst of just normalcy and humbugness and These shepherds were just sitting in the fields and they're just doing their job, and then angels appeared and an opportunity was there and the purpose came for that day. Mm-hmm. And if we can only see and be willing to accept what God wants to do in us in each day and willing to submit ourselves to his plan for that day, I think we'll be much more prepared. We'll be much more ready to take on each day and know with certainty that the Lord is with us and that he's guiding us into every opportunity.
I know our time is about over for this particular service, and so I want to thank Josh and Elizabeth and Dan for sharing with us today. And I'm going to ask John Roller if you'll come, and the musicians, and we're going to sing Joy to the World as our benediction today. But as we are preparing to end this chapel season and this semester, I hope most of all, and I pray most of all, that the strongest message that's come out of what our students have shared is that of hope. This is the reason that we celebrate Christmas. It's not just Jesus' birthday and we celebrate the fact, we do celebrate the fact that he came. But more importantly, we celebrate the fact that he is here, he is Emmanuel, he is God with us, he is our hope, our light, our life, and our purpose for being. So may you leave today with that assurance.